From the Marquee Media Studio inside Mark Tank, it's the Mark Haney Show.
Yeah, this is the Mark Haney Show, and it's going to be way different today. I am surrounded by my favorite people in the world, my two kids, Ashley and Marcus. My wife Stacy's over in the audience. My man Scott, my right-hand man, is doing the filming. But today's show is going to be a little bit unique. You know, I'm one of those people that likes to build from the inside out. And so here we are, you know, building from the inside out. We're going to talk about what makes our family tick a little bit. And I feel like one of the big strengths of our family is our family unity. And I feel like that's what I'm trying to do in all aspects of my life. So on today's show, we're going to be talking about like what that is to us from not just my perspective, but Marcus's and Ashley's perspective as well. So to start off with, Marcus, why don't you introduce yourself and make sure, and you know, a little bit of your background, and so and then you, Ash.
Yeah, absolutely. Really excited to be here. This is exciting. We're here at Haneyville. So cool, different experience. My name is Marcus Haney, the younger sibling here. I am a Marine Corps veteran, Purple Heart recipient, got shot in Afghanistan. Now I run a program that helps veterans transition out of the military and helped my dad start his radio show and podcast. And so excited to be back here behind the camera.
Yeah. And I'm Ashley Haney. I'm the favorite child. Sure. And so I just wanted to throw that in there. Marcus, for Christmas, decided to get my parents a pillow that says, Mom, bring over the pillow that says Marcus is my favorite child. So I'm saying it here on air with a live audience. I'm a local real estate broker with a boutique real estate company based out of South Placer County. And I am a mother of two beautiful children. I got four dogs and going through life one day at a time with my family by my side.
Yeah. I think our story is not, it has a unique set of circumstances in it because of, you know, we never left. So we wanted to stay close to home. We have that, I guess, those core values of like, let's keep the family close. Marcus, you didn't bring up the fact that you're a father.
I got five
freaking children.
I know.
Does that feel weird?
Yeah, no, it does for sure.
Yeah, yeah.
Having stepkids is definitely a unique situation. So yeah. Making sure that that's...
And two kids, two and under.
Yeah, two youngsters. So, yeah. And we're going to homeschool them. So we're a little weird probably in that regard, but yeah.
I think so.
Well, I think that's what I want today's show to be a little bit, because we're trying to build family unity here. Unity is a huge advantage. That's what I'm trying to do with our business partners with the Growth Factory and the Backyard Advantage. That's, I think, what our country needs. Is we need to come together, and there's changes that are affecting, I guess, our perspectives on how to be parents, how to, you know, build businesses. And so today I think it would be a fun chance just to share like our perspective on how the world is changing and how that affects our efforts in, you know, building great lives for ourselves and create an opportunity for our family. But before we get into that, let's describe Haneyville, because I think people are interested in that. So we're sitting inside the Ville. It's the clubhouse. Yeah, and it's the family clubhouse. This is where we had Christmas and family dinner the other night. And it's new, so it just got done. Ashley lives about,
it's
300 yards from here, 400 yards from here. Marcus is about 250. And I'm about 200, so we're all within this small proximity in Loomis, which is right outside Sacramento. But we live on 74 acres, and so it's a lot of rural, too. So, like, we're in a family clubhouse right now, so we have the opportunity to be closer. Hopefully, we don't kill each other. But, I mean, that's the goal, is create an opportunity for us to become closer, and we're already close.
Yeah. We haven't killed each other yet, so.
Well, how close have you been?
You know, there's definitely days.
Who have you wanted to kill most? I know you've gotten disappointed in me since we've been out here.
You know what? The good thing about our family, I'll say, is when we go through challenges with one another, we're not afraid to talk about it. It might take a couple days, might take a week or two. You always know, right? Like, I think Marcus and I might be going through something today. I don't know, but we're working through stuff. Just kidding. And so we always talk to each other. No, I don't think we actually wanted to kill each other. I think that it always brings us closer. We have a huge dynamic here, having seven kids living on the property too. Marcus has been out here the longest. I've been out here for about 3 years and you guys about a year. And so everybody just establishing their routines. And now that we're all out here, I think it's going pretty damn good.
Yeah, it is good. And the routines are interesting because your mother gets up. I'm at the gym, 0 dark 30. And by the time I get back, she's out walking like all the dogs, seven or a bunch of dogs around the property. There's a dog whisperer. Marcus is walking around on his telephone, talking to somebody on the phone. And what are you doing at that time?
All the dogs had just come from my bed. So six of the seven slept over at my house, and I have a four in bed. That's awkward, but that's sick, but I'm not even going to go there. He's talking about a little peanut butter for the reference. I don't eat peanut butter that much, but Mark, because he might have a secret. No, I'm getting my kids ready, doing work calls. I just don't need to walk up and down the street doing it.
And then the routines happen throughout the day. We all go to the office. We work in Rockland, and you know, we have, you know, you're out and about as a realtor, Marcus, you're building the business. I'm doing whatever I do with podcasting and the Growth Factory. But then that's not uncommon for the end of the night for us to converge somewhere. A lot of times it's our house. Sometimes it's Ashley's house. She likes to throw parties. And sometimes it's Marcus's. But now we have the Ville, which is kind of that place to, if nobody's doing anything, you know, what are you going to do? Go hang out by the bonfire, hang out at the Ville. You know, the lights are on down here. You know, if, you know, somebody's lonely or whatever, doesn't have anything to do. You come down to the Ville, turn the lights on, and see when he comes.
If you build it, they will come.
That's
right.
That's the idea. Well, it's fun, but you know, so talk about you know, this building from the inside out concept, right? Building businesses, building a family, and you know, having, you know, an awareness of what's going on out there in the world. It affects the way that we, you know, what we focus on. You know, a lot of times I'll say stuff like, "We can only focus on," you know, "we can only." Focus on what we control, right? What we can't control. Let's kind of block the other stuff out of our minds because, you know, it's kind of a waste of time. But at some level, having an awareness and a point of view on all these things that are happening out there in society, they actually do affect the way that you guys parent, the way that we build businesses. So I wanted to kind of throw that out there. We're sitting around a round table where we could be at. It's not that the dinner table's over there, but this is kind of like having dinner. I like that saying from Ronald Reagan is all great change in America begins at the dinner table. And I think a lot of times families don't have a chance to have those family conversations about stuff that's happening out in the world and what it means to the family. So I want to have one of those kind of conversations with you. So I'm going to just bounce it to you. Like, what's last year? What was the biggest thing that happened out there in the world? What kinds of things are happening that are making you say, and kind of thinking about how's that going to affect me building my business? How's that going to affect me raising my family? How's that going to affect, you know, what I do all day long?
2024. Oh, maybe we can go back to 2019 with COVID, right?
Okay.
It's because I think that the world, and maybe you guys can agree or disagree with me, the world's kind of sped up since then in a weird way that I think there's a interesting, you know, dichotomy between the before COVID and after COVID. And I think a lot of things have been brought to the forefront of my mind and thus made changes for me, because I was a person who got mad at you guys for getting vaccinated. I'm like, don't do it, right?
I didn't get that.
You didn't either, right? Okay, so my mom and dad did. I'm like, don't do
Should
that.
Should we talk about that?
I can't confirm or deny whether I know you had a fake vaccination card.
I did.
You know what I mean?
Got to be able to get in other somewhere.
Absolutely. I did get vaccinated, and I got the your mother suggested we get the follow-up back, so I've been, I guess, a double vaccine.
Would you do it again?
I don't think I would.
Okay. Interesting. Why not?
Yeah. I know people that have had health issues, and they are blaming it on the vaccination. So it's kind of like, you know,
proof's in the pudding.
Yeah, proof's in the pudding. I know plenty of people that didn't get vaccinated that never got sick. I got vaccinated. I never get sick. I can't even remember the last time I got a cold. But so I don't know if it really hurt me, but, you know, I don't really even get the flu.
Right.
Okay, so your age group, you're probably more of the age group that went out and got the vaccine. Yeah, the television's telling me to do it, so I got to run
out. Well, more likely, I think, you know, I'm 61, so we're a little bit more likely to have, you know, our immune systems are probably weakened and things like that in most cases. And maybe, you know, just the this craft that we've done to our bodies over the years is can kind of catch up to you. So you get COVID, there are plenty of people that, you know, didn't make it through COVID. And so they just weren't healthy enough to survive it, or they just got a bad strain of it or whatever.
Yeah, no doubt. It was obviously a terrible thing. It shut the world down. You know, how bad was it? Who knows, right? But back to your point of what you were saying to me, you said what's happened over the last little bit, COVID happened, and you're a super healthy individual, right? You have your own sort of things. You grew up with a few different channels on TV, right? You even sold TVs growing up. You had 3, 10, and 13.
Right.
And so now there's multiple places that you can go hear different points of view, which I think is a really interesting thing that's happening in our world now. It's like people are getting out and doing their own research and providing, you know, what journalists of the past would have done. And so sort of citizen journalism is on the rise, which I think is an interesting topic and gives us probably different viewpoints, which I think is maybe where we could take this conversation.
Yeah, it's an interesting topic. So you're right. I grew up watching, you know, 3, 10, and 13. The major networks, and then when cable came, all right, you watch Fox, CNN, all that kind of stuff.
It started black and white.
It was black and white. Yeah, I gotta say this.
Really?
The screens were round, too. And so, but it has changed, and I think because of COVID, and I would throw this more at you guys, but the old school people like me, you younger generation, and even younger than you had already switched to alternative ways of getting your information. I was kind of still stuck in watching, Fox News or whatever, Fox, CNN, comparing there. And then I think COVID made it so that even people like me didn't trust the mainstream media. You know, I still watch it from basic news, but I know that I have to filter it to find truth. So, and I wonder that with you guys. There's so many false narratives on social media as well. How do you get the actual truth, or what you believe to be the truth? You know, what sources do you follow?
Yeah, I pretty much don't watch the news at all because I feel like every time it's so negative, and if you just want to watch the news, it's going to be negative, negative, negative. And if there's something big enough happening, I'll hear about it.
I didn't watch the news after COVID hit. I quit watching the news for probably 2 or 3 years. And then we started the Growth Factory. It's like, well, I better just be staying up on all the financial stuff. So I started watching the financial news a little bit more. But anyway, sorry.
Well, I'll be interested to hear what Marx's answer is, because he's a big conspiracy theory guy. So where are you getting your information? Nostradamus over here.
Nostradamus. Well, that's something I'm bad at.
Well, you're pretty close.
I know. Doing pretty good. You know, I, as a Marine, sort of learned or were taught how to look at anomalies, right? Things that are not of the norm. And so I guess since I have been in the Marine Corps, those things stand out to me. And so when I see videos of 50 different news stations saying the exact same verbiage over and over, I'm saying, okay, where are you guys getting that information from? And why is that such a hard line driving home? And so to me, I have learned to watch alternative news. And so I've actually done it since I was in the Marine Corps, started off on YouTube, and then people that I would watch on YouTube got banned from YouTube. And I'm like, wait, what? That's such a weird deal. These people that just got removed from YouTube. And that made my ears perk up a little bit more. Like, why are these people that are maybe not saying the exact same news as you all, maybe they're diving into the FOIA request, Freedom of Information Acts, right? If you can go to the government and you can fill out a FOIA request and you can get information from the federal government, we all can as citizens, that's our right to do that. Mm-hmm. And these citizen journalists were utilizing these FOIA requests and reporting on topics and news things that are different than the mainstream media. And that really stood out to me as interesting. And then over the last little bit, as COVID wound down, people got removed, or as COVID wound up, and all the narratives started, I'm like, man, I can't really decipher the difference. And so I sort of try to listen to it all, right? And that's sort of what I do as a person who spends some time doing it, is I listen to some people, but I also listen to what everybody else, I guess, is listening to as well, just to hear what the narrative on the street would be.
And why do we care about that? You guys have little kids, right? Actually, your kids are 12 and 14.
Yeah.
You've got ranging all the way from baby to 12. How old's Hunter?
12 to 1, yeah.
12, yeah. So, like, they're starting to get cell phones. They're starting to, you know, they had, your kids were kept out of school during COVID or on the Zoom. You know, how are you getting the information you need to decide whether, you know, Riley should be on Instagram or what age to get the cell phone? How do you determine those kind of things? Because it's, this stuff boils down to, like, what do we do all day with our, you know, the people we care about most?
Yeah. Future generations in mind, right?
Yeah, sir.
Yeah, no, I think for me, I work really closely with my kid's dad, right? We got a co-parent effectively. I would say him and his wife are ultra conservative. I would say I'm moderately conservative in my social. When you go back to how old should you be when you get Instagram, that's a family choice, right? And I think every situation is different based
on... When you say conservative, are you saying more like strict? You're not talking politically conservative?
I'm not going politics. Yeah, so yeah. I'm going to say, yeah.
Yeah, just so
their values. Conservative in their values.
Right, okay.
Which I respect, and we get along fantastically, right? That obviously doesn't come without challenges in itself, but we have a great respect for each other, and that works. So... Riley, for example, she's 14. She got Instagram for her 14th birthday. She'd been asking for 2 or 3 years. So she got her cell phone when she turned 12. That's just what was comfortable for us. We felt like there was a level of responsibility. Rocco just turned 12. He got his cell phone at 12, and we kept it consistent across the board. If at 14 he's not ready to have Instagram, that doesn't mean he just gets it because he's 14. She had to show us her level of responsibility, and we've had to have some really hard conversations. I mean, away from social media or phones, we go to Mexico a lot. And when my daughter's 12 years old, there's people looking at her like she's an adult. Yeah. And so having to have those hard conversations, I think that's one thing that I've tried to do really well with my kids is not shield them completely from reality of the world but not to put a fear in them either. So just like, you know, hey, this is why, and I'm not doing this because I don't want you to go be able to do all the things, but I got to protect you as your parent.
Well, you guys are both, all your kids are responsible for their age. That's always struck me that you guys have done a good job in raising responsible kids. And so some kids probably aren't ready for a cell phone at 12. Would you agree?
Yeah, absolutely. But what's weird is I would say more than half of my kids, people in their class had cell phones before 12. My kids were one of the last.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. Because for parents, it's easy. Throw them a phone, put your face in it. I don't have to talk to you. You can check in where you're at, and it's lazy parenting.
What about them getting information, though? Because if they have a smartphone, right, because they have access to YouTube or, you know, other things, they're able to take in information that you might not approve of. How do you filter that?
Well, the problem is they have access to that at school, too. So you can try to shield them, but the kids are using computers at school. They can YouTube. There's a kid that was in Riley's class that the dad had gone to jail. And so the kid's Googling his dad's name because he can't do it at home. They're going to find ways. You know that if you wanted to, when there's a will, there's a way. So whatever it is in life, if you want to do it, you can try, but...
What do you think about the schools that have created a policy, and this may be already the policy at your guys' kids' schools, where you got to check in your phone, you can't use your phone throughout the day.
That's at Hunter's school. So Hunter moved from a public school where he was maybe not in the best environment for himself, and so him and his mother and I decided he was going to go to this charter school, and that's the rule there, is that they have to put their phone in their backpack. They can't even call during break time or at lunch or anything like that. They can call from after the bell at the end of the day.
Okay, so they put the phone in the backpack.
Yeah, it's not a locker or anything, but if you're caught with your phone, they take it, and your parents.
Same with ours.
So if there's an emergency, like...
Go to the office.
Yeah, or, okay, what if you need to call and, you know, make sure you have a ride or something like that. You have to go ask permission.
They don't make it to the office.
Oh, from the office phone. Oh, that's...
Sometimes now in eighth grade, they can pull out their phones on certain things. Some of the teachers allow that, but generally they have to stay in the backpack. Some of the kids have Apple Watches, so they message from those.
Mm. What about... Okay, so you made the decision for Riley to get Instagram. Mm-hmm. It's an interesting thing with Riley because she had made to be like a YouTube, she makes all kinds of really cool videos, but she never posts them on YouTube.
Yeah.
I didn't give her access to posting stuff on YouTube, but within our family, she's got a tremendous amount of creativity. She could have her own YouTube channel.
Yeah.
Would probably be very popular. What made you, now she has Instagram, which is not totally dissimilar from YouTube. She can now post things and show off her creativity. What's the thought on that?
I don't know. I feel like it's a really fine line. Obviously something her dad and I would have to talk about, but I just worry because I think it's so easy, even like here, right? We're putting ourselves out here and exposing things that could be unpopular in decisions. And these kids now, colleges, and if she, you know, she plays competitive sports. If she wants to go play competitive sports at one of these schools and she's posted something that appears promiscuous or anything, even if it's innocent because she's 14, it could ruin her whole career.
Yeah, so I like to say, you know, all great change in America begins at the dinner table. And that's because the family conversations, really, it happens like one family at a time. So maybe I'll throw this out to you guys. Maybe, Marcus, you could lead this. When do you communicate? People don't sit around the dinner table that much anymore because you're busy. Your kids are all in a bunch of sports, and there's people going, you know, different ways. That's how you were raised. You, you know, we sat at the dinner table somewhat, probably more than, I would assume, more than maybe you guys and your kids. But it wasn't every night because you guys have sports going on and other events. When is that time when you have the deeper conversations about right and wrong and, you know, use of a phone and, you know, all the follow-up on, you know, how is life today? Because that's what our dinner table conversation was. What happened today at school? How was football practice? It was around the dinner tables.
Yeah, we have dinner a lot at home. Okay. Obviously, sports intervenes with that. I think the car ride.
Right.
So I drive Hunter to and fro, and the boys and obviously little kids hang out. But I spend a lot of time talking with Hunter about life in the car on the way to school. So that tends to be our time. And then after I put the babies to bed, to go kind of catch up with them and whatnot. But I think that would be probably my nearest term conversation with him is, and that's without distractions, without
it. Right, you and him.
Yeah,
you're a 20-minute car ride. You got plenty of time.
Yeah, it makes it nice. Or trying to sports games and stuff like that.
Okay.
So it's been nice to have those conversations.
I would agree with you. A lot of time spent in the car, feel like an Uber driver most of the time. But I would say a lot in the car. And then my kids and I have a thing where we sit in my bed and we eat dinner sometimes. I know it sounds really funny.
Did you just say this on camera?
Like, yeah, we
the dogs are in the bed. Are you feeding the dogs? Why is that Jevin? You're right. That happened to you.
Like
you're feeding the dogs. You're feeding the kids in bed.
Oh, listen, we like just be that. Maybe that's why I'm single.
But you are taking time to communicate. They want to be. They obviously want to be. You know, your kids all want to be around you. They want, you know, your kids, all your kids. Walk up to our house and want to hang out with what I call the glue, right? Your mother, all the, you know, your granddaughter, your daughter, Riley, 14, she's over a lot sharing boyfriend drama or girlfriend drama or this and that around school. And then yesterday, I think it was, your two-year-old walks like 400 or 500 yards across the property. She comes in the sliding glass door and it's like, hey, there's Brindley. She's like two. She walked across. She's got her little backpack on. And she's two. She walked almost half a mile to get to our house.
She didn't say anything. She put on her her boots, her hunter boots, and trekked across the yard. She needs her own show, too. Riley and Brindley need their own shows. But, yeah, that's I think that's what we kind of build is community, camaraderie, but then also the ability to feel confident walking into each other's houses, right? Like, we don't knock, right? We have that sort of bond where it's like, hey, come in whenever.
You can't find a baseball belt. You just crash, right?
So and that's really a neat thing that maybe most other families might not have.
Well, and that's what I think, too, in terms of sitting down and having those intimate conversations. I think they're very important to have with myself, but like, for my kids, because of the closeness, let's just say I'm with Rocco at practice. Riley will go to your house, she'll come to your house, and she'll have those conversations with you. And I know the advice that you guys are going to give is going to be complimentary to whatever I would give just because we have the same values. So it's almost like I've got an extra set of hands for me, and it's super helpful.
Yeah, and I think the coach, the kids in basketball and maybe football this upcoming year too. So that's a nice way for me to be able to insert my my Marcus-isms, if you will, my belief system, into these kids too, which I think is a fun, healthy way to, you know, teach them how to be great.
Yeah, and we're thinking about they lived through COVID, but if you go back further than that, and think about the major, some major things that have happened in your lifetime. I think about 9/11 for sure. Yeah. Obviously prompted you to think about going into the military, and ultimately you went into the military. And that was life-changing for our family, with you getting wounded, and you know, it shaped your belief system. It's amazing how we've had these big things that have happened in your lifetime. 2008, the financial crisis affected the way a lot of us think about how conservative we should be with our money, and you know, it also created a lot of opportunity that I, you know, didn't necessarily seize completely at the moment, but put you in the real estate business. You ended up getting into the real estate business during the downturn.
Yeah.
And it's shaped us. But now, we fast forward to COVID, and you think about this, it feels to me like the speed of change is accelerating. Like, things are happening faster, whether it be in the world generally, or even like we brought up technology. Think about media. You know, we went from TV to cable to the internet, and you know, computers, internet, cell phones, social media,
right?
And now we're rolling into AI, and eventually we're going to be quantum computing, which is really going to accelerate the rate of change, I think, in society. Everything is going to be coming at us faster from so many different directions. How do you just keep it all straight? And how do you turn it into maybe an opportunity to build what you want to build?
I'm going to be honest, for me, it's a little bit scary to have that. I think the duplication of your voices, or, you know, who's real, what's real. Mm-hmm. I think that for me is pretty scary.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love this conversation. I could go probably a lot of different ways in it, because I feel like we are nearing towards the weird movies we all watched, right? The Terminator movie is kind of coming to reality. Holy smokes. Right arm, whatever, right? Any of these movies that we've seen where, what's coming in? The robots taking over, AI, one mind, the hive mind kind of scenario. Who's running the government? And I think that's an interesting question, right? Is like, what does the future look like for our kids? What is the right path for them in education, right? What is going to make them feel like they are going to be a successful person in the world? What is an entrepreneur in 2045 going to be, right? Is that going to be building an AI deal, or is it going to be the best business opportunities are back to mowing the lawns, right? Because I think that's going to be an interesting thing. Do we go way forward where, the technological thing allows opportunity, or does it decrease the amount of opportunity in the technological space and open up opportunity for maybe the more labor-intensive things that humans got to be able to do in order to make the world go around? Because ultimately, if the computer can do it, and we get to this place where the computer can do it all, those jobs, I think, are going to be a little bit obsolete.
Without question. I mean, the Growth Factory now is invested into, I don't know, 65 companies. I'm invested into some before that. I think that we got 100 sets of business partners, you know, in our family, and try to build unity within that group is kind of an interesting thing. But those people that we're investing in, a lot of it's in AI. A lot of it is in technology. So these 65 companies are all technologically advanced. You're figuring out cures to disease. They're in the process of streamlining, jobs. It's the future of work. And, where do you place, your suggestions for your kids on like where they're going to be at 18, 24, 34, like, will real estate as we know it be sold the way that we do it? I don't know. Are wars going to be fought the ways that we fight them now?
Would you have taught the kids that you coached in baseball growing up that being an esports millionaire was a thing? Right.
Yeah.
So that's like, okay, so we can use that as a real term situation that we've evolved from the best, the most highest paid athletes are throwing, catching the baseball. Not anymore. These esports guys are getting paid more than those people, right? Look at the guy, Mr. Beast. He's like one of the richest people in the world based on being a YouTube influencer. It's like, oh, that is a new job coming through. And so I see a lot of kids seeing that as exciting. And so maybe what this technological evolution brings us is the ability to choose what we want to do and go after it, right? And not have to necessarily settle, right? And maybe everything is buildable in the future also.
Do you think that our families focus on what you can control sort of mindset where, look, let's focus on unity. Let's focus on right and wrong. Give more than you take. These kind of values, those will transfer. Don't you think those kind of things will transfer, even though the truck driver job might not exist in 10 years? Being a good teammate could exist.
Absolutely.
And being willing to do whatever it takes. I just remember when I bought my first house, I was 21, right? And I couldn't afford it on my own, so you had to co-sign for me. And you sat me down at the time and said, what are you willing to do to pay this mortgage? Are you willing to clean the toilet? Are you willing to have three jobs? I mean, that's a value that you instilled for me at such a young age, and I never was once late on a mortgage payment. I would have done anything. I mean, if there was only fans at the time, you know, who knows? TBD on that one. But you got to do whatever it takes. And that's a huge value for me. And if you want it, you got to work for it.
Yeah. I feel like, I'll throw this more as a question, because we have programs that we work with the high school. We're teaching entrepreneurship and innovation. I am amazed by the creativity and the ingenuity that these young people show. They're building businesses. And, you know, if you do turn on, I hate to see you turn on the news, but you hear out there from the barbershop chair, what's wrong with today's youth and all that kind of stuff, where I see tremendous potential. What's your guys' view on the potential of America's young workforce, young future leaders? Are we backsliding to things like COVID and maybe deterioration in the school system? Has that caused us to are we going to have a gap in people like what I'm seeing with you guys, really hardworking people that keep their commitments? And these high school kids that I'm talking about working with, they exist, but do you think there's less?
I don't know. I think I've gone through this question in my head because growing up, you're in high school and it was, you got to go to college, right? College, college, college. I don't know that my kids' generation is so much about college, right? You obviously went to college for a little bit. It wasn't your thing.
Couple days.
You went for a couple days. It wasn't your thing. But mom said, you're going to freaking college. And so I am being the rule follower. I am did that. Do I think that college is for everybody? I don't know. I'm going to encourage my kids to go to college. But I think there's an interesting, it's going to be interesting to see in the next 10 years what that looks like. And then I do think, not to get political, the number of young people that showed up in this election was shocking.
Yeah.
And so I think that there might have been a gap from the 20 to 35 year olds that, you know, maybe not as hard of working, not showing up, not maybe a little more victim mentality. I'm not generalizing, I'm just generalizing. But the number of young kids that showed up, 18 to 25, to vote in this election, people want to have their voice heard, and they're ready to go out there and be a part of it.
Maybe the difference, I think, for the younger generation, what I see is the individualism, right? They all want to kind of go be the YouTube sensation type of person. So I think the entrepreneurial mindset is kind of being fostered through young kids, and they obviously have access to some positive voices on YouTube that tell them how to do good things, right, that are being beneficial. And I also see these young kids thinking in my age group and maybe your age group as well.
We're the same age group, just say that.
Yeah, a little older. I just can. Looking at the government as a job opportunity or as a career, I think is becoming less and less, right? So now people my age don't want to go work for the state necessarily, right? And it's sort of the your age group people or the generation before after you,
safe.
Right? It's safe. I'm going to go watch and gone. Right, exactly. So like grandpa, your mom's dad, he got to go get stock options as a part of his career through Procter & Gamble, right? And it's like, oh, that doesn't exist anymore. And maybe the startup phase where your space, where you're at, where people get equity for, participating, a little blood, sweat equity a little bit. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't exist for the young people anymore. So I think we are on this perpetual, okay, I guess we got to go figure it out for ourselves type of thing, which I think is a unique mindset to be in. And I think that will create adaptability, right? And I think if that's the one skill set we could instill in our children, right, is the ability to be adaptable, right? Be able to be a little bit, you know, not get so stuck in the ways of today being how it is for forever.
Yeah.
And I think if we can shake that up a little bit, I think we'll be in a better place as a society.
I agree. I think as young people, there's something we can teach your kids or, children in school that I don't think is being taught. And I'm not going to speak for every school out there, but how to think for yourself, how to be resourceful and
adaptable,
believe in yourself. Yeah, be adaptable. Exactly what you're saying.
It's okay to be a little uncomfortable.
Yeah, for sure.
It's only when the comes out.
But memorizing things only has so much value, but to get taught how to think for yourself versus how to follow rules, I think is super helpful for being an entrepreneur, but I think it's super helpful for creating a way to be happy.
Yeah.
Yeah, personal happiness. Yeah. Right? You got to think within and figure out what you can do and what you're great at and what you want to do, I think is a big part of it. And I love maybe the part of the social media world that it exists is some of this motivational stuff, right? You hear some of these great speakers, some of these individuals who are talking about being great, like yourself. You're getting on there talking all the time on your show with entrepreneurs, showcasing, hey, it's not always easy, but look, you can be great too. And I like that personification of it. And I think the more people that go out and do that and say, hey, I'm not selfish. I need to harness all my knowledge for me. I'm interested in helping others win. I think if we can do that within our own small group here as a family, what that can do for our kids, friends, and maybe that can perpetuate out into our community further. And, you know, maybe we can turn this timeline that we're going through, this perpetual fastness of evolution or whatever, maybe we can slow it down a little bit by coming together as a family and realizing what our true values are and how to make that, you know, stick in our community. Because to me, I think that we're getting away from that a little bit, right? As people, other parents are not necessarily on the same page as you as a parent. It's like, okay, we need to put our kids around those people that help make our kids better too.
I agree.
You think more people came out to vote, young people came out to vote because of like the events in COVID, or was it after Trump got shot, he alerted everybody and made people want to like do something, be less apathetic, I guess. What was it that brought the young people out, in your opinion?
I think that's a really hard question. I didn't watch some information on this, but I'm no expert. I think that I wouldn't say necessarily COVID, because if you think about COVID, that's 4 years ago. These younger kids are somewhere between 15 and 19. Maybe they were, right, where they didn't get to go to their senior ball or their junior prom because of that. I don't necessarily think that I'm going to be really careful on what I say here, because this politics are bad for business sometimes, but I think that people want to have a voice, and I think that they want to be heard. It was a beautiful day on election day. The lines were everywhere I drove, were long, and I think that people wanted to come out, and they knew we needed a change, whatever that change was going to be. I think that we needed it. But for my personal business, I know everybody that's in real estate, mortgage, any of those, we need a change in our economy. Mm-hmm. And so I know that the people that I'm close with that are in my world wanted to go have their voice heard, because we're seeing the struggle in our business, and more people in real estate are getting out of the business because they can't afford it. I've been very fortunate to have a lucrative career, but even people that have been here for 20 years are struggling. Mm-hmm. And when you can't pay your bills and you can't, in your grocery bill to get a dinner is $100 to go get bread and turkey and milk for your family is $100. That scares people. And so they don't, at that point, you're kind of grasping and say, hey, I got my voice heard.
How much has inflation affected you guys? I mean, obviously it affects your ability. You know, the price of these groceries, but obviously in real estate, you know, the price of houses have gone up. Interest rates have gone up, and the price of housing has gone up, but the grocery bill for the everyday person is a big percentage now, percentage of their, their money. Yeah, gas. What are you guys hearing out there? What are you feeling out there in terms of, like, shock. I saw you the other day at the grocery store. We happened to bump into you. You guys had a full cart, but you get up to the line and you get a full cart of groceries. It can be like $300.
Oh, easily.
That's a bounce pass, no doubt. Especially if Brinley's shopping with you. She likes.
I remember we set aside like $300 a month for groceries. Yeah. For like the whole month.
Even that's if you're a Walmart, you can't even eat for $300 a week.
Yeah, that's weekly. $300 plus
at least.
Weekly.
Oh, so well, you got five kids.
Yeah, but when we cook a lot of our meals at home, as going out is, you know, really expensive.
Is it cheaper to DoorDash or buy? Like, Yash, I know you love the DoorDash.
I love the DoorDash. Like the Dash.
Well, you have a super busy life and, you know, you're out there, you know, selling houses and stuff. So we know things like convenience are a big deal to you. Is it a lot more money to DoorDash it?
Honestly, I mean, there's a little bit of a service fee, but let's just say I went through a drive-thru at Taco Bell. Just to go get food for one person is $20. Like, we used to go to McDonald's and get like a dollar cheeseburger. That's like a
29 cent with a 29 cent.
I don't have that anymore. Yeah.
I remember going to Taco Bell. This is when the menu was smaller. With my buddies in high school, they said, give me one of everything on the Taco Bell menu. They just ordered that.
Okay.
Because it was probably cost about $8.
Bucks. Yeah, okay.
$8, you can get like one of everything, including a drink.
Okay, so
I want that in my life. Yeah. You really need them to bring
that. Would be like,
remember when a Coke was a dollar?
Yes.
I mean, that's
what's a Coke now?
I don't know. You can go to maybe like the 7-Eleven and get a medium large soda for $2.50. Mm-hmm. Those used to be 79 cents. Going to the gas station,
it seems like it happened like really fast too.
Yeah, and
I think the last 4 years is definitely.
And the wages haven't caught up necessarily, right? Too. So I think that's what I hear from my friends that are, you know, work for other companies. Like, hey, we want bonuses. We went through this time where COVID allowed us to work from home, and now everybody's getting requested to come back. And so that's a big,
it's like more gas.
Now more gas, but my wage is not going up, right? And so I think that there's a little bit of frustration in the environment about, hey, where's my money going towards? A lot of my friends like the crypto stuff too, right? So they're out with our group chat.
For now, they do.
They do.
I got into that. I'm not saying it's not going to continue to go up.
But it's interesting that becomes the topic of conversation in my groups, right? It's like, hey, I'm not hedging my bet in the stock market necessarily where our future generations would have, or put it in the bank, right? They're putting their stuff on some wild tokens that are maybe going to hit it rich or something. Okay, that's a lack of trust to the system, in my opinion, which is an interesting place for us all to be in, right? It's like, okay, you have these 30-somethings with a little bit of, you know, money, and they're going and putting it in not a Fortune 500 company or not into something that's more reliable. They're gambling on this stuff, which may be a little more fun, right? Because you got this coin or that coin. But I think that's a weird place for us to be what does that mean for our economics moving forward? And I know you have like the gaming company, the Azure Games, mm-hmm. they're using some crypto and blockchain type stuff in their gaming. And so, back to the inflation piece, what are we going to do about it? What are we going to do with what you got, right? It's like, okay, do we switch to a coin-based scenario as a country, right? Or as a society? Because I think that's maybe leaning towards that. And, you know, people my age are hoping for that, I think, right? In a weird way. So that's what I feel on the street. And what I hear is inflation, the dollar's kind of hurting us. We're looking at other alternative coins and Bitcoin and other things to hedge our bet against, which is un-American a little bit, right? As we think about it, but that's what we have out there.
Well, housing affordability, because I mean, most people's biggest investment, the average person on the street, their big investment is their house to start with. First thing you got to do is, and not everybody feels this way, but a lot of people are like, I got to make sure I buy my first house. Housing affordability, not that good. Prices have gone up, interest rates have gone up, and now a lot of us are locked into these 3% loans, 4% loans, so we don't want to sell our houses. And so these other people, you know, the supply hasn't skyrocketed and driving down prices, but yet interest rates are up and the demand is the demand there still?
It is. I mean, we're still in a seller's market. In 2024, statewide, our biggest age group of people that bought houses were 18 to 25. Younger generation, or 18 to 30, I think, is the thing. The younger generation was the biggest market because they don't know anything different. Right. So they don't know about a 2% interest rate.
Okay.
Maybe they've heard about it, but they don't know. And then you shift gears a little bit and somebody who bought their house for $500,000, that house is probably worth $1 million now. So if you have $500,000 of equity and you can go roll it and pay another, let's call it $1,000 a month, whatever it is, into a new property, and you get what you want a little better. I mean, is that really the worst thing?
Not necessarily. I think that's maybe it's healthier. I mean, when I bought my first house, it was 83, I believe, and had a variable rate loan, bought down to like 11.5%. And, you know, it was like 11, what's it now?
It's like six or 11.5.
So 11.5 variable, right? A fixed rate would have been like 14 or 15. Yeah. So I think I'd like bought down.
So historically, where we're at today,
6 or 7%, I think, is pretty long.
I think if we can get to 5%, that would be like a really good, between 4.5 and 5.5, that's going to be a really, really good place for us to be in a very healthy economy for us.
So what happens, let's say we get to 5% interest rates. I don't know if that's going to happen. I don't know if y'all
want to hear it. It's going to be in the mid-5s this year by the end of the year. But that was pre-election. I personally think we're going to be closer to 5% by the end of the year.
Oh, you think interest rates are going to
go down
that far? Because lately they've cut interest rates on the short term, but the long term seems to have crept back up.
It just depends. I mean, there's so many programs out there now, and like especially with the veterans programs, there's different stuff. So I think it's situational, and I think it's timing. And so it's all about planning.
Okay, so the housing market in the Sacramento area, how is it different than, let's say, the national averages? Obviously, it's a very regional type of investment.
Yeah, but you're kicking butt and getting invited out of D.C. and stuff.
Yeah, so I do a lot of referral stuff. And so what I do is if somebody calls me and wants to buy a house in New York, I have a whole team around the nation. We're seeing it across the board that it's a very competitive market, low supply. I would say demand is moderate. Plus, I wouldn't say people are out there knocking on people's doors to buy their home, but there's people that do want to move, and there's situational stuff happening every day. Death, marriage, divorce, growing family. I mean, all that stuff is happening.
So if interest rates go down to 5%, though, let's say they're a little over 6.5 now. They're around 6.5. If they go down to 5, that makes the move up buff purchaser more eager to find something because he's not having to sell his, you know, 3 or 4% loan house to move up. He's at 6.5%. It's only 5, so he can move up.
It's justifiable, and you can take your equity and move it into something else.
Yeah.
It's easier to justify, and I think, especially these people that are doctors and nurses, I'm not sorry, doctors, nurses, police, fire, public safety people, I mean, that's a very great job, but it's a safe job too. And it's not like they're getting huge bonuses and risks. They have to have that security of what they got going on.
Well, let's talk about, maybe we just kind of wrap a little bit and kind of close out a little bit with, our vision for the backyard, if you will. I talk about, you know, building the backyard advantage. Marcus, you helped me start the show. You help us launch the Growth Factory. Ashley is an investor into the Growth Factory. And with that Growth Factory, we're building this group of backyard business partners that love each other. And we now here at Haneyville, we're in a different backyard than we were just a few years ago. What's your vision for how the backyard business partners, the backyard advantage affects Sacramento, affects our family, affects, you know, we have some influence over that. We don't control any of that, but we are building a platform, just like we've done at Haneyville, for our family to have unity. While we're building a tribe and a platform with the Backyard Advantage for people to strengthen unity for the Sacramento business community. And ultimately, it can expand from there. But thoughts on that?
I know the near-term goal is to have 100 millionaire backyard business partners. So I think the Growth Factory is probably going to solve that mission. But I think, thinking holistically as a family, I think that I want to have this backyard mentality be passed on to our kids, and so that they know that this is the mindset in which we operate. So we were talking about earlier, right, is that we like to not only support ourselves, but support our friends, right? That's why we go use our friends as the landscape guys, or, you know, use our friends as the pest control guys, and kind of keep it all within the community of people that support one another, kind of give back. And to me, that's sort of tithings, right? That's the way you can give back to your friends and neighbors and supporting each other in that way. And so if we can pass that mentality on to our kids and have them utilize what we've started here and, you know, sort of, you know, build upon it, then that would be my mission.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. And I think that one of our other mottos we've always used is to be a uniter, not a divider, right? And so I know I've struggled with that at times when I've been more judgmental than I should have been.
Ashley's been called like Beth from Yellowstone.
It's okay. You know, I'm not quite as crazy, but I can be. And so also, too, just building relationships that are going to last. And I think that we've done a really good job at doing that. I think it's easy to throw in the towel or to give up or to say, well, this is too much work, or I'm out. And maybe I've done that with a marriage or two. But in general of life, as a family, that's who we are. And we invest in the people, like you were saying, that we're close to and that we want to support. And if we can continue that mindset along the way, then we can.
Okay, so just final question here. So Mom and I have been married. It'll be 40 years in June. Come out with 40-year anniversary. I think tomorrow is like our 43rd anniversary of like our first day. Our first day was New Year's Eve. Obviously, you guys have, the apple didn't fall far from the tree. You've got some of my thinking. You've definitely got a lot of your mom's philosophies and values as well. What would you say about your mother in terms of like her role and her approach and how that has shaped you guys and how it's shaping the entire family and all of our goals?
Okay, I'll start with that. I think Mom, she's the glue. I know you referred to that earlier, but Mom has a very, very special way of making you feel comfortable. And you know, when you tell her something, she's not going to share that, right? Even though she knows in the back of her mind that there's more information, in other ways. But she'll pretend she doesn't know.
She's very perceptive.
She's got her HR hat on at all times. However, Mom's the glue, and Mom leads by example. And so I think that she gets up every morning. She takes care of herself. She takes care of the family. And she makes meat and macaroni salad, too.
Yes, she does.
So I would say we wouldn't be here if it wasn't for Mom. I think that sometimes we struggle. Obviously, she likes to get up in our business a little bit and help.
Hayville was actually her idea.
She's a helper.
We ended up having an offer on our house and ended up because of her idea. Well, I'll only sell the house and we get a family compound, and we all got excited about it, and here we are. But I mean, it's because of her. Yeah. And a lot of us help with the creativity of this. You obviously got us the real estate. Marcus has come up with the names and where the book buildings ought to be, along with Brittany and stuff. And but it was really her idea, and she originated it.
Well, the thing with Mom is she doesn't get a lot of credit verbally a lot. For whatever reason, because she's not out here doing it for the acting.
I give her a lot of verbal credit.
Okay. You said you were on your show, so maybe next episode we can have you
replay that. And I think we lost that video.
I don't think so. I think you go back to the files.
Maybe our she has a big birthday coming up in about 9 months or so. So maybe the next birthday we'll pull that out on her big, since it was 6 in it. So
So what I always say about Mom is I tell people that I was perfectly parented. I got hard-ass you over an hour from one end of this thing. And then,
my friends don't know me as that hard-ass guy, but
man, you get off your hat or something.
You
get off your hard-ass hat.
All I really had to do was create a look.
Yeah.
And it was like, you guys both snapped afterwards.
Yes, that too. So I was prepared for the Marine Corps. So I had hard-ass dad, and then I had sweet Mom, Elmer's glue, that always was there to put the pieces back together and be the person who I want to be when I grow up, right? I always see Mom doing the right things, right? And prides herself in that. And so
is there anybody that does the right thing more consistently than your mother.
No.
I mean, I like figure out the rules and figure out how to break them a lot of times.
More of a rule bender. You're more of a rule follower, but mom does the right thing because it's the right thing.
And it's when nobody's watching.
Always is. Yeah. 100%. I even leave trash outside sometimes.
Just to check them, so not
she finds it. No, but in reality, mom, you're amazing, and thanks for all you've done.
So why'd you used to whip her with the towel then in the kitchen?
Ooh,
you got jail for that. You got to sleep. Well, you don't snap a towel.
Snap a towel. That, you know, over here messing mom, and I probably being a punk teenager, right? And I think I had a friend or over or something like that. But I'll tell you what. She did the right thing and taught me a lesson. Chased my ass up the stairs, pinned me down up against the wall, and headbutted me. And headbutted me.
Mom has a forehead that she can't feel.
So she headbutted me. And I'm like, holy cow, that's real life. So she did the right thing, right, and taught me a lesson. I haven't messed with her since.
Have you been headbutted since?
No, I've avoided that for sure. I've told other people to try to go headbutt it though, see if they can withstand the head because you do have a hard head.
All right, so why don't we just wrap up the podcast with, hey, if you like the podcast, if you have other ideas on how we ought to operate this podcast, if you have topics that you would like us to share our opinion on, if you didn't like it, Send your thoughts my way. Reach out to Ashley or Marcus. Ashley obviously posted about it on her Instagram or on one of her Facebook channels or whatever. But give us some feedback because, you know, we want to bring to you relevant information, actionable information that will maybe affect the way that you raise your family, the way that you build your businesses, the way that you live your life here in our region or wherever you're at.
Yeah, and I'd also like them to answer some of the questions you asked us today. So,
yeah.
And we're too hard, so thank you for easing us into just...
Okay, which question specifically?
I really probably shouldn't have brought up the eating in bed. That was a little awkward. So
okay.
I'm going to delete that part.
Okay.
I got other weird stuff. I'll be open and honest.
Okay, let's ask Ashley what's up else weirdly she does. But then we talked about like how the speed of change and stuff.
No,
how's it affecting us?
Yeah, it's good. I'm excited to see what 2025 is going to bring. I love the opportunity to sit down and talk to you guys. I think next one will bring a little more banter. And
do you have New Year's resolutions?
I can't share those right now.
I don't do the New Year's. I'm going to try to eat a little bit better, but I do not. I kind of have the broad vision, and then I chip away at my own pace. Sometimes it's slower than I'd like.
Yeah.
Well, we think that this conversation is going to outpace the Mark Haney Show. So if you can give us some likes and subscribes for that, we would like to make this thing a steeple right there.
So like the spinoff of how these TV shows, like Jefferson, spinoff of All the Family. Most of you probably don't know that
reference.
A lot of TV shows we spin off of other shows. So some of my old friends understand that reference. But yeah, maybe this becomes its own thing, and maybe it's Live from Haneyville, or come up with some name if you got a good name for it. Yeah.
No, name suggestions. That's what I would like to say. In the comments, name suggestions. That'd be great.
Yeah. Bye.
Thanks.
See. And to all you out there fighting the good fight for entrepreneurship and for the backyard advantage, and of course, all of you out there fighting the good fight for our freedom, our security, and our way of life. Here at the Haney Biz, the Mark Haney Show, and the Growth Factory, we're never above you. We're never below you. Always by your side.
This segment includes the personal knowledge, experiences, and opinions about angel investing by seasoned angel investors. This content is for informational purposes only and should not be considered as legal, tax, investment, or financial advice. Nothing in the segment constitutes a solicitation, recommendation, or endorsement.